Well, if you have your Bibles with you, open them to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe you'll be blessed by God's word tonight for coming out and braving the cold. I expect a blessing. You know, God says he will confirm his word with signs following. So, whenever you hear the word of God, you should expect him to show himself strong on your behalf. If you have ears to hear, see, you qualify that. You're the one that makes that, whether it's going to go on the good ground of your heart and whether it's going to produce in your life. So, Father, I just pray that everyone here tonight would hear your word with hearing ears, with open hearts, that expect to hear from you, that expect that to go into the good ground of their heart, and that it would produce for them. It would produce exactly what your word has sent it to do. So we thank you, Father. We receive that by faith in Jesus' name. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, verse 1, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're born again, then you can say, that's me. We've obtained precious faith, like precious faith, with us by righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. You've got to receive that. Lord showed me several years back that when I read the word and something is pronounced on me, or it's coming to me in abundance, or it's coming to me multiplied, or all the other different ways they explain things that are coming to me, I need to be in position to receive it. So just like we sang, I've seen you do it before, I know you're going to do it again. Well, I know that he's pulled through before. I know he's filled me with the word. But every time I come to the word, I have to receive it again. I have to eat it again. It's like we pull up to the dinner table every day and the breakfast table, and we eat every day. Well, we've got to eat the word of God. We've got to digest it, hear it, get it into our hearts and into the good ground of our hearts. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we're going to find out the grace of God, and we're going to find out the peace of God by what his word says, by the knowledge. And so I want to talk to you tonight about God's peace, how important it is to you. It's not just, you know, everything is serene and, you know, peace is a spiritual force. It's one of God's attributes. Love, joy, peace. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, or the attributes of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. God has already made the deposit. God's already made the deposit. So it belongs to you. It's already in there. But it's up to you and it's up to me if we're going to live in the peace of God, that we're going to have to draw on it every day. That's our responsibility. Paul wrote that we need to work out our own salvation over in Philippians. We're going to work out our own salvation. That's how you do that. You're going to have to live out of the Word of God, out of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit that's been deposited inside of us, and we're going to have to bring that into manifestation. So we don't go and ask God. If God's already deposited peace in you, then it's there. We don't have to pray about peace. Not for us. Peace has already been put inside of us. So we don't have to go and say, Father, I'm just so razzled and things, you know, my world is just tipped upside down and I'm holding on by a thread. I need your peace. You don't have to go to the Father with that prayer. He's given you his peace. We're going to look at his word where he's told us over and over and over. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Well, you need to receive it. You need to recognize that it's in there, and the way we receive it is by believing it and then acting it out, or meditating on it. Go to the peace scriptures. If you need peace in your life, go to the Word of God. We just saw that it's multiplied to you through the knowledge. You see, believers, once you get born again, we need to have God's knowledge in our life. His knowledge. When we got taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, we need to now begin to renew our minds to how God thinks. He already declared and decreed that you have the mind of Christ. So if you have the mind of Christ, then we need to start using it. We need to start using the mind of Christ. So go with me to Galatians chapter 5. As I said, the peace of God is already in you. Say, I've already got it. I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Womack, but he did a series, and it's titled, You've Already Got It. And on the cover of it, how many know what I'm talking about? There's a picture of a dog, and he's chasing his tail. And he's going round and round and round. And the title of it is, You've Already Got It. We've got the things that God's put inside of us. We've already got them. Healing has already been deposited inside of me. Okay? And so it's that knowledge of knowing that that's a truth. And as I believe it, now I can begin to activate my faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If I need healing in my body, I'll go to the Word of God, the knowledge of God. I'll take the scriptures that declare and decree. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of His redemptive names. So if God calls Himself the God that heals you, then you've got to take that and believe that and act on it. And so the believer really does not need to pray and ask the Father to heal him, because healing's already been provided. I get in trouble quite often because people that don't understand that it's already been provided, they think I'm cocky or something by saying I don't have to ask for it. But why do you need to ask for something that you already have? I don't need to ask Robert to give me my Bible. I already got it in my hand. That would be, you'd think I was silly if I said, Robert, would you give me my red Bible? You'd all look and say, well, you've already got it. And so we can look at the Word of God, the knowledge of God, and it shows us what belongs to us. It shows us what we already have. And so we need to digest it. We need to believe it and then act on it. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and I already talked about this, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace is right there, number 3. Peace has already been deposited inside of you. I have the peace of God inside of me. So when I get a situation that really, you know, rocks my world and I'm frazzled, I don't have the answers, I'm not in peace. What I have to do is, through the knowledge of God, grab the peace out of His Word. The peace is in His Word. It's inside of me, but I've got to get me to cooperate with His Word. I've got to get me in my soulish realm to understand it's in my spirit. You see, because we're a three-part being. And so when I'm not in peace, if it's a physical thing, your body might be screaming pain. It might be, you know, the doctor report says, I've got this, I've got that. And so you would be tempted, God's going to tempt you to say, you ain't got no peace. You don't got no healing. So you've got to draw on the Word of God. God says He upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds all things. Do you know you and I can uphold all things by the word of the power of God when we believe it and activate it? You see, we have to activate it. God's word, it's not just ink on pages. It's alive. It's alive in spirit form. And you can't see it, but picture a little seed. A seed of peace has been put inside of you. Well, in the natural, we understand how seeds work. You have to plant them. Okay, so how do I plant the peace of God? I go to the Word of God, I find scriptures on peace, and I begin to plant them with my mouth. I begin to speak them. Now, faith comes by hearing. I'm hearing myself speak these scriptures of peace, and all of a sudden, the Word of God, the power of God, starts being activated, and my emotions just calm down. Because you can't still be thinking and acting on the doctor's bad report, if you've got the Word of God, if you're speaking the Word of God, you can't think on two things at the same time. So put the report away. We're not denying that that's what the doctor's report says. But you can deny it's right, because if Jesus has already healed me, then I can deny cancer's right to come into my body. I can deny leukemia. I can deny anything that the enemy is behind. But I have to agree with God's word on it. And so just like that leper, he didn't know it was the will of God. So you've got to know the will of God. How do we do that? By the knowledge of God. That's how we know what God's will is. His word is his will. It's his last will and testament. And there's nothing more coming. We don't need anything more because he's given a sufficient word. Okay? So in Galatians 6, he shows us right here that peace is already one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's already been deposited into your spirit. But you must choose on a daily basis if you want the peace of God. You're going to have to choose every day to live in it. So whatever comes that, you know, razzled you, might be a bill, an unexpected bill. It might be something with the kids, something at work. You can get right there, that back to that place of peace by meditating on the Word of God. And, you know, there's no excuse in the world we live in. My goodness, they have apps on your phone now, a Bible app, and you can get, my wife has hers set up that she can just hit a button and it'll pull up scriptures on all the different categories that she set it up for. I was talking to Emily McKean the other day. She said, Jeremy has one that has an alarm go off, and then it begins speaking the word on a regular basis to him, to remind him. So he does a lot of driving in the car, and so he's got this application that, like, every 15 minutes, it will give him another scripture. I think that's pretty cool. So there's no excuse. We've got the word in so many forms. We are so blessed. Amen? All right. Let's go over to the Gospel of John in chapter 16, or chapter 14. We're going to go to 16 in a minute anyway. John 14. And in verse 1, we all know this scripture. We've heard it over and over and over. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Well, let's just stop right there. Let not your heart be troubled. Amplified says, do not let your heart be troubled. Whose responsibility is it to not be troubled? It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's not God's. God's already given you the peace. You've got to, how do we not let our heart be troubled? By the knowledge of God's word, take his word, find word that is what you need, the peace of God, and meditate on those scriptures. That's what will bring the peace into your life. When you're speaking God's word, he's bound by his word to watch over it and make sure it comes to pass. He says that in Jeremiah 1 and 12, I believe it is. In Job 22:28, it says, if you decree and declare a thing, it shall be established. God's going to establish his word. His word's already established, but you're the factor in your life to make it established in your life. You understand that? God's already established it, but you've got to establish it. You've got to settle it. I tell people, you know, there's... With your situation, there's three different forces going on here. There's God's will is for you not to have this horrible situation. The devil is trying to put this thing on you and try to convince you that it's for you, and he wants you to take it. And then it's up to you. You're the deciding factor. You're the deciding factor. And yet, how often, you know, I was listening to radio, Christian radio the other day, and it's just like what they were saying was they were basically begging and pleading God to fix their situation when their situation's already got the answer, but it was obvious they didn't know it. It comes right down to the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God has been multiplied to you, but you're going to have to get it through knowledge, through the knowledge of God's word. So what did God say over in Hosea 4 and 6? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You've got to have the knowledge to go with your situation, the knowledge on that situation, if you're going to have victory. Remember, Jesus purchased the victory for us, but we've still got to obtain it. He purchased the victory called salvation, which is all-inclusive, spirit, soul, and body. He purchased it for everybody. But it's the individual's responsibility to bring it into their life. And so healing's been made available for everybody, not just Christians. It's been made available for every human being. And God will if they will receive his healing, they will get healed. If they will receive his salvation, they will get saved. All right. In the New Living Translation of John 14:1, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. The Good News Translation says, do not be worried and upset. Jesus is speaking here. Don't be worried and don't be upset. Remember the story with Jairus and his daughter was at a point of death. And he asked Jesus, you know, come to my house and lay your hands on her and she'll be healed. And Jesus went with him. And then, you know, the story in the word, the woman with the issue of blood stops, makes a demand on Jesus. She gets her healing by faith. And then before it's all over, she's talking to Jesus. And then as that's going on, the messengers come and they say, don't trouble the master anymore because your daughter's dead. Jesus didn't freak out. Jesus didn't apologize and say, I'm sorry that, you know, I should have been more diligent to get there. If I'd have got there in time. What did he do? He turned to Jairus, and I believe Jairus didn't even let go of him. You know, he's not going to lose him in that crowd. I picture if it was my daughter, I wouldn't let go of Jesus if he's coming to heal her. And so he looks at Jairus and he says, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only keep on believing. So we've got to take heed to the words of the master. And if Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, then it's my responsibility not to let my heart be troubled. Now, until you get the word of God on it, you might be, you know, some people, they just live out of their emotions. They're very emotional. And so regardless of how long they've been a Christian, they haven't got to the maturity where they can put the word first. So they let their emotions come out first. And so a situation comes up and they're like off the deep end. And it's not that they don't know the word. They just haven't got themselves to the point where they've heard it before. They've heard it for 30 years. They understand it, but they haven't applied it. They haven't operated out of it. So the first, I always say this, first words are critical. In an emergency situation, what are you saying first? Are you speaking the disaster or are you declaring God's word? Because you'll get what you believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, I'm not going to speak out that's going under, that somebody's going to die. I'm not going to speak those words. I'm going to speak God's word. And you might say, well, what if they die anyway? That's not on me. I'm responsible to speak the word of God. We don't know what was going on in that individual's life. They might have had so many chances, and God is so merciful. He gives us over and over and over. And they might have just, we don't know. You might have come across a wreck and somebody's just been, you know, they've had so many chances and they're not taking them. They're not taking them. There are consequences for the way we live. There are consequences for what we say. But God is so merciful. He will, to your last breath, he will, you know, hold on and he will receive you into his arms. But it's still up to the individual to believe it and receive it. Even if at the last minute before they die, they say, Lord, I'm calling on you. You know, they're going to get in by the last breath they take because God wants everybody. He's not willing that any would perish. That's how good of a God we serve. In the Passion Translation, John 14:1 says, don't worry or surrender to fear. That's what Jesus was saying to Jairus. Don't surrender to fear. Even at the point where they said she's dead. Don't surrender to fear. In other words, Jesus was saying, that's not the end result. Even when they declared her dead, he said, don't fear. Don't be worried. Don't fear. Believe only. So it's our responsibility. It's our job to be believers. And the enemy, it's his job to get you into fear. Because fear is it's a real spirit, and it will try to come on you. But the more of the Word of God that you have in you, in your heart and in your soulish realm, when a situation comes, you won't be tempted to fear. You'll be only speaking God's Word. And that's how we live in victory each and every day. And so if we want the peace of God, which is what we're talking about, we need to get the Word of God regarding peace, and those are the scriptures we need to go to. That's we've got to go to when Jesus said, well, let's turn there. In chapter 14, we're already there. Go over to verse 27. Well, verse 25. Jesus is speaking here. John 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to us. Verse 27, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So it's not just some, you know, peace, you know, it's not just, well, I'm giving you some peace. He's giving you his own peace. The Master, Jesus, is giving us his peace. So we've got to learn to operate in that peace. We've got to learn to operate in it. He says, and then he goes into saying, let not your heart be troubled. He says it again, neither let it be afraid. So it's our responsibility to keep fear out of our life. It's our responsibility as believers to keep fear out of our life. When the Bible says over in James 4, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, that's when you're telling the devil, no, I'm not taking your fear. I'm not going to surrender to it. I'm not going to be worried. Jesus said over in Matthew 6, he was talking about money and the lack of it and how people would be, you know, all bothered by not having enough for their needs and their clothes and what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. And he told them, he says, take no thought saying. That's how you take it, is by opening your mouth. So if you don't want fear operating in your life, don't agree with the fearful situation. That's why Jesus immediately said to Jairus, he didn't want Jairus to open his mouth. So I like how the Amplified says that Jesus heard that report, but he ignored it. He says, overhearing it, but ignoring it, he told Jairus, don't be afraid, don't be alarmed, believe only. And so believe only means what? Believe his word. Now, Jairus had Jesus right there. We have Jesus right here. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, John 1 and 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus said, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Here's the thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. When you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. When you lose your peace, now you're out there in the realm of fear. You're out there in the realm of anxiety. We've been told not to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So when you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. When you maintain your peace, you're going to hear from the Lord. It's important. This is critical, what I'm talking about here tonight. So when you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. Go over to James chapter 3 with me. We'll look at a few more scriptures that are there to help us. James chapter 3, Let's look at starting in verse 13 for sake of time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. See, so God's wisdom is peaceable. God's wisdom. Well, God's word is his wisdom. It's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In the Amplified, it says, the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals. It's important that we are mindful of who we surround ourselves with. Because if you're surrounded with people that are full of doubt and unbelief, and people that will not believe God's word, they're going to always be speaking and always influence. Their influence will always be worldly. It won't be from the word of God. And so if you got a real good friend, but they just don't have anything to do with God, and whatever situation that comes up in your life, they're always going to weigh in on it. Friends always do that. You know, oh, you don't want to do that, or they'll be speaking, you know, the enemy will use them to speak into your life. So we need to be very careful at who we allow influencing us, who we allow into our life. You know, Bible says to be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. So we're to love the world. We're to love those that are unlovely, and we're to love those, but we're not to be chummy with them to the point where, you know, we're having dinner with them every week and we're doing things with them all the time and we're allowing them to influence us. We got to be mindful at where we have to stop the association. Now, maybe once a week having coffee with them might be okay. And you're not allowing them to speak. Here's the other thing. What you share with them about you is critical. You don't want to just tell them everything that's going on in your life, because, again, they're going to weigh in on it. They're going to influence you, and influence is powerful. That's why, you know, teenage years is the hard years for our kids, is because they're being now introduced to other people's philosophies and the world's way of thinking. And all that's out there, and so they're going to begin to challenge, you know, what you've put in them. And so we want to be mindful of that. So we talked about strife just briefly. Strife will drop the shield of faith. We can't allow strife into our life. Strife will, and discord is deadly. It paralyzes the power of God. Discord paralyzes the power of God. When you're in discord, that means there's disagreement. That means there's opposing views. Sometimes there's anger, there's bitterness, there's strife. All of that is going to do what? It's going to rob your peace. You've got to stay away. Matter of fact, the mature Christian will not, we're not supposed to argue with people. We're not supposed to be contentious. We're supposed to maintain our peace. Remember, it's our responsibility to maintain our peace. So you know what? If there's a disagreement, people don't see eye to eye on everything, but you might want to just quickly, before it gets elevated, say, you know what? We'll just have to agree to disagree and leave it at that. Because not everybody is at this. I'm talking about Christians with Christians. Not everybody is at the same place. And so you don't want to argue with them. If they can't see it right then they can't see it right then. No amount of your raising your voice is going to help them to see it. No amount of, you know, your veins sticking out of your forehead is going to make them see it the way you see it. You know, that's an issue you want to pray about for that person. And look, use wisdom too. You might not want to just say, well, let's pray about it because I disagree with, you know, you just don't see it my way. No, you don't want to do that. We want to maintain our peace, right? All right. When you don't have peace, man, you're not sleeping good at night. And God's designed sleep to be very beneficial for our bodies, for our lives. And so when you're not getting that sleep, you know, when you let strife in, when you let contentions in, when you lose that peace, you see, so we've got to maintain our peace at all cost. I mean, at all cost, when I say that, I mean, you know, you need to take the time. You need to take the time to get that peace back. You got to put other things aside until you can get that, regain that peace in your life. Because you don't want to have strife. You don't want to have contention. You don't want to be up all night thinking and being angry at somebody. That's not going to help you. It's not hurting them from sleeping. But it's really ticking you off. No, you've got to let some things go. And you've got to let the peace of God just wash over you. The Bible talks about the Word of God being as if water's washing over your mind. The water of the Word. And so we want to maintain our peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, just a couple more scriptures. Notice I'm giving you the word regarding peace. I'm not making it up. This is all what God has written for us to find to help us to maintain that. Ephesians 2 and 14. It says, for he himself, he's talking about Jesus, is our peace. He himself is our peace. Well, Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, lives inside of us. There's another reference to peace being inside of us. It's in our spirit, man. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you and beg to walk worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind or humility and meekness, unselfish gentleness and mildness, with patience, bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is a power. Peace is a powerful force. It's a powerful force. But notice it says you have to be eager and you have to strive earnestly to guard to keep the peace. That takes some diligence. That takes some work on our part. So the other day I was... I had, or my wife got a call, and this certain person wanted prayer, and so I think it was yesterday that I came over and I met with them, and I was going to pray for them because they had this situation going on. I knew it was a physical situation. I didn't know what it was or anything, so I just began praying before I got here and said, Lord, just, you know, give me a word, or, you know, just, you know, I just wanted to be hearing the Holy Spirit, and peace is what he gave me. Peace is what just came up. So it's the only word I had. So we come in and we met in the office, and it was a woman and her husband came, and I had another woman with me because I didn't know that her husband was coming. But anyway, just began talking and trying to find out what was going on, and you know, she began to cry, and she said, you know, I've just been so frazzled and so fearful. She had no peace. She had lost her peace. And so after maybe 7 or 8 minutes of talking with her and you know, trying to listen to the Lord to direct me, you know, how to pray, when to start praying. I didn't want to just jump in but I told her, I said, the Lord gave me the word peace you know, for you. And she broke down crying again. And she said that she had contacted another ministry, and that was what they were telling her. And so she was saying how good God is that, you know. I said, well, that's his doing. I said, I just showed up, you know, and was listening to him. So anyway, by the time we were done praying, the peace of God just filled the room. Within 15 minutes, it was totally full of peace. There was no, she wasn't upset anymore. She was like, she had her eyes closed. She almost fell asleep. Because God's peace just came in and just flooded over her. And, you know, we need to take authority over our emotions and not get too emotional. And but I brought it to the Word. I had the Word of peace, but then I just began to think of the Scriptures, you know. You know, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So, you know, God's got this. He's got this, and we're just going to follow him. And we're just going to let him do the work that he's going to do. And we just have to cooperate with him. So it was totally the peace of God. And it might be very well. I think it was yesterday, sometime during the day, that that's what he showed me I was going to talk about tonight. It was kind of like he was working it out yesterday, you know, for a trial run in the natural, in a situation that needed to have peace. And so I wanted to share that with you to, you know, that's just, thank God he gave me that word. And then, so really, I thank him that he gave me the message of peace to bring to you. And how to make it active in your life. Because look, we're all faced with stuff each and every day. You know, one day to the next, things are happening. My goodness, I was listening to Joe Morrissey on the End of Days update, and it's just like, there's lots going on in Israel that we don't hear about on our newscast. There's mortar shells coming at them all the time. I mean, it's a daily occurrence. We don't hear about it. It's like the news people probably say, well, what more is it to report? It's every day happening. They just think that's normal, you know? Anyway, I'll let you in on a little secret. I talked to Joey Roberts this morning. And we're going to have him with us at the end of the month, end of next month. Tomorrow's the end of this month, but end of next month. So, yeah, he's excited. He's going to be in the area. And all right, a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to close tonight. I think you're getting the idea here that God wants his peace. You know, Jesus, he gave it to us. Here's a story that over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're all familiar with this, but let's look at it. Let's just pretend we've never heard this story before. This is the first time you're hearing it. I like to do that quite often because I want the Spirit of God to reveal something maybe I didn't get the last time. God's Word is so rich and so full of life that we can read right over some things. But anyway, in Mark 4, verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern. He was sleeping on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing or we're going to die? Now, these were professional fishermen. They've been out on the sea before. They've been in rough weather before. But they're like scared and thinking they're going to die. And here Jesus is sleeping. You see, he's sleeping. He's not letting the storm affect his sleep. You know? But Jesus arose, verse 39, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Those three words, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? So you see, the opposite of having peace is having fear. So you can recognize real easy if you are really truly in peace, are you fearful? If there's no fear there, you know, if you're sleeping good at night, if the peace of God is there, that's a good indicator that you are in faith, that you are trusting God. But if you're fretful and anxious and full of anxiety, then you don't have peace. Jesus right here said, why are you so fearful? The fact that he asked that, he says, how is it that you have no faith? And so, again, Jesus would speak peace. You can speak peace over your situation. You can speak peace over what's going on in your life. Again, God has given you the authority over your life. He's given you the power. He's given you the dunamis power, and he's given you exousia. He's given you the authority to take authority over the devil. Don't let that rascal, don't let him get big. He's a little wimp. He's just a little wimp. Anyway, last scripture we're going to find in Colossians. Oh, there's lots of them on peace. I encourage you to, when I read through the Word, I usually have a legal pad or some sort of notebook out. And when I study topically, but as I'm studying topically, I will also be mindful that, there's something that's going to come in handy. God's Word is, my pages are falling. And so I'll write it down. And if it's one on love, I'll just start a heading at the top and put love. And then I'll write down the scriptures that show up. And then there might be another one on faith. And so I'll turn the page and put faith. And I've got lots of, in my files, I've got lots of those kind of papers where as I'm reading, I might have been studying for peace, but I found something else that was good. So it's just giving you a little tidbit on how I study. But where did I tell you to go? Colossians chapter 3. Isn't God's Word good? It is so good. All right. In Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Now the Amplified says it this way. And let the peace from Christ rule or act as an umpire continually. Let God's peace be an umpire. Well, you know what an umpire does. He in baseball, he's behind the catcher, and he's watching the pitches come in, and you get an inside one, he'll call it a ball if it's inside or whatever. Catches the outside corner, he'll call strike. But here he's saying, let the peace of God in every situation in your life, let it be as the peace of God be as an umpire. So in other words, you got this situation going on, bring the peace of God into it. Let it rule over this situation. You got something else going on the next day, let the peace of God be as an umpire calling the shots. I mean, that's what an umpire does. He's the one calling, whether it's a ball or a strike. And he calls whether you're out. Let God's Word have that place in your life. You have to give it place in your life. Let God's peace have that place in your life where it's going to rule in that situation. When you do that, you'll have the peace of God manifest in your life. And that's what we want. We don't want to be fretful or full of anxiety or full of discord. They're all real situations. Maybe somebody wronged you. It's a bad situation. But you can get to the place where you take the knowledge of the Word of God and apply it to that situation, and you'll pretty soon, God's Word will just rise up in you. That situation will come out of your mental thoughts. And remember, we're not supposed to meditate on those thoughts anyway. Great way. We're supposed to cast down thoughts that come against the knowledge of God. But as we read the Word of God and let them come in, those things just leave themselves too. So why don't you stand with me? Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, I thank you for the truth of your Word and how as we come to know the truth and apply it to our lives, that it sets us free. The peace of God will set us free from anxiety. The peace of God will set us free from fear. So we thank you, Lord. It's a tremendous attribute that you have deposited, you have imparted it into us, and multiplied it to us. So, Father, that tells me I have enough of your peace for my entire journey called life on planet Earth. I'm never going to run out. There's always enough for every situation, for every day, for every year, for my family, for my kids, for their families, for my neighbors, for my church, for my government. I have enough of the peace of God that I can continually let it rule in my life as an umpire to where your peace will rule and reign. So we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. We appreciate you and love you. God loves you. Tell somebody else that God loves them as well. Thank you. I know he does, and I appreciate it.